And on Sunday nights, we've been talking about why I believe what I believe, and we've had a number of messages along those lines. I'm not so much telling you all that I believe about the subject, but rather why I believe what I believe, and why I believe that it comes right out of the Word of God. Tonight, I want to preach on why I believe in hell, why I believe in a literal hell, a real hell. And that's very important in this day and age when so many people are denying it or trying to deny it. If you'll turn to Revelation chapter 20, we'll begin with verse 10 and read through, as you follow along, verse 15. The Scripture says, Revelation chapter 20, beginning with verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. It does not mean they were saved. This is a different judgment than the judgment seat of Christ. And they're judged according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And listen to verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so may we believe what God's word says about the subject. Hell is sort of repugnant to a lot of people. A lot of people don't want to hear about hell. And when I started out preaching a long time ago, 46 years ago, I mean, it was nothing. You get up and preach about hell, and you had no static from that. But now it's different. Now our culture is different. Our society is different. And people get a little miffed at preachers who really preach straight and really preach what the Bible says about hell. Now, that's something that is one of the most important subjects, really, that can be dealt with in the Word of God, the very subject of hell. I have no joy in any Christian that has any kind of seeming joy that people die and go to hell. Something's wrong with you. God has no joy in anybody dying and going to hell because it's so horrible. Ezekiel 33:1, I have no pleasure, God said, in the death of the wicked. God has no pleasure in the death of those that are wicked. And I tonight would not be a friend of a sinner or sinners if I didn't tell them the truth about hell. I would, in essence, be their enemy. But the Scriptures repeatedly warn people about hell. Now, a lot of people suppress the reality of hell. They suppress the idea and the thought of hell, and that's our nature. We suppress what we're afraid of, and we suppress what we hate. You think about it, in your own life, you suppress what you hate, usually, and you suppress what you're afraid of. You try to keep it suppressed, and that's what they want to do. And they castigate preachers and people who are relatives and maybe other evangelists and those who try to tell them that there is a hell, and they don't like it because they are afraid of it. They're afraid of the reality of it, and they make light of us. A lot of the arguments of the unbelievers is just simply based on emotionalism. It isn't based on the Word of God, that's for sure. It's based on their emotions and what they want to think and what they choose to think about hell. They are deluded. And they somehow, our society today, a lot of them, have decided that hell just sort of evaporated one day. Just went out the window. There is no hell. There's no such thing that exists today where God's going to send people there, or they're going to send themselves there because of that. And they will laugh at you and tell you intelligent people have gotten over the fact that there's supposed to be a hell, and we don't think like that anymore because we've learned more and we're more intelligent, so we don't believe in hell. Intelligent people don't believe that. The Old Testament, go back to it, and I can tell you throughout all the Old Testament tells you clearly that the wicked are going to suffer. The wicked are going to suffer. There's no doubt about it in the Old Testament. It is there. The church fathers taught that. The reformers preached that. That there is a hell, and wicked people are going to die without Christ and go to hell. And they were very clear about their position in that. Now, I believe in hell because of our own moral nature. Our own moral nature requires that, I believe. We have a conscience. God gave us body, soul, and spirit, but in all of that, there's something we call our conscience. And even in this life right now, our conscience will reward virtue, and it will approve virtue in people's lives. We just somehow, in our conscience, know that good is to be rewarded and bad is not to be rewarded. It's just part of our makeup that God has put in us. And we condemn vice, and God condemns vice, and we punish vice. We approve virtue and reward virtue. It's just part of our makeup. And I believe God put that innately in mankind to think in those terms. Right is right, wrong is wrong. And the Bible says that there is so much evidence that people are without excuse, and people know and they have a conscience, and they know the result of guilt. They feel guilt, and that's why they need a Savior, because they are guilty, and they feel that guilt. And they know most of the time that it is there. They know about that. And then I believe it because of the life of Christ and His character. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ and His character. Did you know that Jesus talked more about hell than anybody else in the Bible? Jesus talked more about hell. There's more about hell than there is about heaven in the Word of God. I don't believe that's an accident. I believe that's God's plan. I don't think that Jesus would plant some 2,000 years ago the idea of being afraid of a place called hell to make people miserable for 2,000 years just to be doing it. I believe Jesus knew it. And Jesus would not teach that about some place that is non-existent. Why would he ever do such a thing as that? He preached on hell and taught about hell and warned about hell because it's a real place. And then we have the argument, oh, but God is love. God is love. And a loving God is not going to allow anybody to go to hell. And it is true, technically, he will not send them to hell, but they'll send themselves to hell. But God is a loving God. That is true. But the very same Bible, this book right here, that tells us he's a loving God, tells us also he's a holy God. He is a just God. He is a God of righteousness. Let's don't forget that. The Bible talks about his love, but it talks about the fact that he is holy. And the Bible says his eyes are purer eyes than would look on iniquity. And the scripture says by no means will he clear the guilty. He won't just say, well, I'll just forget it. No, there has to be justification, and God's righteousness has to be satisfied. And the Jewish people, believed in the fact that there would be punishment after death for those who did not do what God told them to do in the matter of faith and coming to God through believing that Christ was going to come and die for them. And the Hebrew people would cry out in the scriptures, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Thrice holy, maybe once for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we know that he is said to be holy, 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 holy. Lord God is the Lord of hosts. We know that. Isaiah proclaimed it in chapter 6 in verse 3. God is holy. God is righteous. Yes, God is love. And I can tell you that before God will allow any kind of sin to come into heaven, he would totally wipe it out and consume it. He's not going to let sin come into heaven. And in his presence, the holy righteous God is not going to allow unpaid sin to come in his presence. It'll be the blood of Christ that gets us there. It won't be anything else. We have the universalist today and some of the Unitarian type philosophy, but the universalists, they say, and they'll tell you very quickly, and we have some universalist churches around here. I don't know if you know that or not, but they're around in the area, and they're always around. And you'll find them in foreign countries. Missionaries find them over there too, universalists, and they say God is love, and because God is love, God is going to receive all. He's just going to receive all. And somehow or another, God's gotten a little mixed up. I guess in his old age. I didn't think God aged, did you? But somehow he has sort of gotten mixed up in what he said, and he wishes he hadn't said it just like that, and time has proven it differently. And God, they say, God just really doesn't understand himself. God doesn't really understand himself. Well, that makes sense coming from a universalist. They don't know anything anyway. But they are gravely mistaken when they say that God doesn't mean it. And they are, for a person that would say that God doesn't mean what he says about hell and punishment, in my opinion, they're just blustering fools. They don't know the Word of God. They don't believe the Word of God. But God says it, and God, though God is love, God is not about to allow that to go. From Genesis through Revelation, all the way in the Holy Writ, you'll find it over and over and over that God is saying that wickedness is recognized by him and declared by God the Father himself, declared by God that there would be no peace for the wicked. And there would never be an eternity, any peace for the wicked. And yet, somehow these universalists and these others who have joined their like philosophy have decided that God has reversed himself on that. God has not reversed himself on it. And God never will reverse himself on it. He's not about to do it. Isaiah 55:8 tells us God's ways are not our ways and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And they tried to bring God down to our thoughts. You don't bring God down to our thoughts. God is God. And what God says is right, no matter what you think or what I think. No matter how much we rationalize it over the years. And I can tell you that God will never, never, never countenance sin. He's not going to countenance sin. He will not overlook sin. And then our sins, they would argue, this same group, do not, they just don't deserve that. Yes, we're sinners, and yes, we fail, but our sins just do not deserve that. Well, even in humanity today, criminal jurisprudence tells us that there has to be some kind of punishment for the guilt. I mean, we have enough common sense in reasonable societies to know that people shouldn't get away with evil, and that it has to be judged, and that's just common sense. And we judge the offenses of our fellow man. Tomorrow, somewhere right around here, there'll be somebody in criminal court. There'll be somebody who's been accused of murder. They'll be going through a trial, and they will either prove them guilty or not guilty, depending on the evidence. And we have enough sense to know that if people are guilty, they need to be punished. And if they're not, they don't need to be. But if they are, they need to be punished to preserve our society. Now, you're looking at somebody that believes in capital punishment. You say, well, God is love. God wouldn't do that. Let me tell you, you better go back and read the Old Testament a little bit and see when he'd wipe out 20,000 in one whack or 186,000 by an angel. God is love. And let me tell you, God says in the New Testament there's that the courts and all of that, they are servants, the policemen and others, they are servants of God to carry out this on earth. Now, if we're going to do that down here on earth, what do you think God's going to do? What do you think God's going to do when God, who is perfectly holy, will judge people What is God going to do? And I think we know the answer to that. Well, the main reasons, probably the main reason I believe in hell, is because Christ said there is a hell. Because God teaches it in His Word. We have terms like this, everlasting burnings. Everlasting burnings, Isaiah 33:14. And then a phrase, shall never see light, Psalm 49:19, talking about the wicked. Shall never see light. And utterly consumed, that doesn't mean burned up. But he says also that the fire is not quenched, Psalm 73:19. And he says, where the worm dieth not, the soul and spirit does not die, the existence does not cease, you still exist, Mark 9:44. And we think of the word eternal when we look at it in the Bible, and it is very significant. God says it is eternal. It's eternal punishment, eternal hell. And so the word eternal, the Hebrew is olam. And also, the New Testament Greek word is aeon, and it's talking about, basically comes from the root word, always, and what they're saying is it is eternal. It's always. It's going to keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on. It is always. One author stated this way, he said, every Hebrew and Greek word used to describe eternal existence of God and of heaven, those two things. Every Hebrew and Greek word used to describe God, God the Father, His eternal existence, and the eternal existence of heaven also describe the eternal existence of hell. And if hell is not real, then God's not going to be there someday. And if hell is not eternal, there's not going to be an eternal heaven. Because it's the same thought, the same idea, it's the same thing. We all like to think about, oh, eternal heaven, hallelujah, and thank God for that. But what about eternal hell? The Bible teaches the same thing, same words used to describe the eternity of hell. Eternity has no beginning and no ending. No beginning and no ending. Eternity is like taking a stone and dropping it in a well, and it has no bottom, it just keeps falling. And keeps falling. Eternity is like a line that has no end. And the angels might get on the end of it and chase it and follow it all the way, hoping to find an end to it. There is no end to it. There is no end. God exists forever, and so does hell. And so that's the way it is. In hell, you can be in hell. Listen, we don't think in these terms. You can be in hell 100 years. A million years, a billion years, and you haven't taken one bit of the punishment away from eternity. Not one ounce of the punishment away from eternity. An immortal soul, and it's lost in infinite darkness according to the Word of God. Where will you spend forever? Where will you spend forever? Most of us hopefully have settled that, but where will you spend forever? The Scriptures and Jesus declare the truth about hell. I'm sorry that some don't believe it, but if you believe Jesus, you believe in hell. By the way, not all out-of-body experiences, those who are declared clinically dead, see a sweet little white light. You hear about people say, well, I saw a light. There's a lot that goes on psychosomatically in the mind, and sometimes the combination of that, the medications and all. But there's also that sphere that we've talked about where people are declared clinically dead, but somehow the doctors resuscitate them. We don't know how to explain all that. We do know that it seems to happen because there are many, many, many cases where they have declared it to be so. I read about one man's experience. This man was an atheist, and he believed like a dog, that humanity was a dog. Just watch me and everything will be fine. And he believed that it was like, that when you died, it was just like a dog. Watch me, watch me. Look at me. I'm preaching. Look at me, all right? And so they believe that they just die like a dog or die like an animal. And this man was preaching that or teaching that, and he was atheistic about his belief in that particular thing. But then he began in this experience that he had when he was right at death, and they resuscitated him. And he said, "I was in pain. I was in darkness. For a little while, I was in a place of excruciating, horrible pain." And the man that was talking to him said, "Well, let me ask you this. Were you ever in great pain in your life before?" He said, "Oh, yes. When I was a young fellow, I knocked over a can of gasoline, and a candle caught my pants on fire and burnt my leg." And he raised up his breeches leg and had scars on his breeches leg. He said, "Well, how did that pain you experienced for that little bit of time that you were there, how did that compare?" He said, "There was absolutely no comparison for what I experienced for that little bit of time compared to the burning that I went through on that particular occasion. No comparison whatsoever." Well, the man said to him, "What do you think it was? What do you think you were? No matter which direction or whatever you were thinking, what do you think you were? What do you think you were experiencing?" This guy, who had been an atheist, said, "Why, I feel," and I'm quoting him exactly, "I feel it definitely had to be something other than on this earth. So the only place I can think of is that there must be a hell, and I was in it." You see what I'm saying? Now, he didn't totally die, or he might have stayed in that situation and been taken deeper and deeper on in to hell. But I can tell you that hell is real. Let me do the preaching now. Okay? You just be quiet. Let me do the preaching. Okay? Hell is real. And if you die, then it's too late. If you die without Jesus Christ and you go into eternity, it's absolutely too late. And what happens is the door of grace is slammed totally, completely tight forever. And I can tell you tonight, anybody that's in hell would give the whole world in exchange, the whole world in exchange to get out of hell. They'd give it just like that, because hell is a real place. And in one sense, and you'll understand what I'm saying, Jesus experienced it. Jesus experienced the dregs of hell. He took our hell for us, if we'll just accept that. And the Bible tells us that God poured out His wrath. God poured out His wrath completely on Jesus Christ. He turned the chalice of heaven over with all the dregs of our sin, and it poured them out on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He cried it out. Why did he make a statement like that to his Father? Because Matthew recorded it in 27:46, all of our sins were poured out on Jesus Christ. And think of what he took on that occasion. But thank God he said, "It is finished." Amen? It is finished. What's finished? The debt has been paid. You don't have to die and go to hell. Nobody has to die and go to hell. The truth is that God's wrath and God's anger, one of these days, if you do not get saved, God's wrath and God's anger is going to be poured out on sin, and God's wrath and God's anger is going to be poured out on the sinner. It's going to take place as surely as I'm standing here tonight. Hell is forever. And you're going to live somewhere forever. Do you know that? Somewhere you're going to live forever, heaven or hell. Now you say, "Well, preacher, don't you know most of us here tonight are saved? Why are you preaching a message like this?" Well, because it's in the series, and because I think we all need to be reminded of it. But let me tell you something. If we really believe in hell, believers, saved folks, if we really believe in hell like we say we believe in it, I'll promise you this. You tell me if I'm wrong later, but I'm telling you, we'll tell more people about Jesus and to stay out of hell. We'll do it. And if we really believe that hell is this horrible as I've described it tonight, we'll give our tithes and offerings so that missionaries can go overseas and tell people in darkness how to be saved. You say, well, they're not responsible. Oh, they are too. Ignorance is not a savior. You've heard me say that a number of times from this pulpit. Ignorance is not a savior. And the Bible says they are without excuse. Romans 1, Romans 2, read it. They are without excuse. And I'm telling you, if you believe in hell, you will give your tithes and offerings to the local church so that folks can be supported in ministry and many people can come to Christ. I love the fact that a lot of Marines are coming to Christ because a lot of churches like our church are helping support Tim Lee and maybe giving some extra offerings sometimes so he can be able to go and do what he wants to do and many folks get saved. Would to God that all of our people would believe in hell enough to start giving. And I'll tell you, if we really believe in hell like we say we believe in hell, then every teenage boy or girl and every Christian in this building, man or woman or young people, we will live for Jesus Christ like we ought to. Because if you really believe in hell, you're not going to be a hypocrite that sends people to hell. The Bible talks about stumbling, being a stumbling stone. And if we believe in hell, and we really don't want anybody to go to hell, then my dear friend, we are not going to be a stumbling stone. We're going to walk a straight line and live according to the Word of God so that those we work with, those that are our relatives, those that we that we have relationships with, whatever they may be, they will look at our lives and know that we mean business and we believe in heaven and we believe in hell and we're going to live like it by the grace of God every day of our lives so that we'll not be a stumbling stone for them to stumble over us into hell. And we'll get sin out of our lives and judge it so that we'll have the power of God on our lives and as we live them out that people would get saved and not go to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell. That should break our hearts to think of eternal hell without Jesus Christ. May God help us to be motivated and moved as believers to get back to the basic reality and the truth, that it would upset us, it would stir our hearts, it would do something to us that only God could make happen in our lives that would cause us to be serious about our Christianity and do all we can to keep people from dying and going to an eternal hell. You love your relatives? Have you told them about Jesus and heaven and hell? You love those people you work with? Have you told them about Jesus and heaven and hell? We need to live that life. We need to get serious about it. Let me tell you, hell's a horrible, real place. You say, well, I'm not going there. That's all right with me. Just me, mine, and my household. No, that shouldn't be all right with us. It ought to disturb us that people are dying and going to hell, and that it will move us out of our lethargy, move us out of our traditionalism, move us out of whatever it is. Another word for it is give us a revival, God. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. May God use His Word to minister to your hearts tonight. Father, thank You for the Word of God, what it teaches us about heaven, and what it teaches us about hell, what You, Jesus, said about it. God, may You help us and be with us now. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name, break our hearts and help us. We pray. Amen.